Well, I was thinking that if you was up here where I'm at and I was down there, you'd want me to pray for you. So I would appreciate your prayers. I have a kind of a heavy burden on my heart this morning, and I need the Lord's help. I'd like to look at a scripture in Proverbs, the 24th chapter. Probably pretty familiar to all of us. I'll start with the 30th verse. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And, lo, it was all grown over with thorns, nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and the want as an armed man. I feel like that there is a danger out there to every child of God, regardless of where you're at on this or how long you've been in it, that there is a danger out there that is probably the biggest danger that's out there. Solomon, I'll give you the way the Lord gave this to me. Solomon was obviously traveling somewhere, and he goes by a field. We do it all the time. Travel by it. He was going by it. It was a step. He was going by it, it says. He went by this field, and then it says, then I saw. So there was some recognition that he had towards this place that kind of sparked something about him, in him. I went by this place, and then I saw it. You can go by a place and not see it. Or not paying much attention to it, or not notice something about it. But this gives an indication a little bit more than that. I saw it. Then, after seeing it, he says, it caused me to consider it well. So his mind was drawn from just passing by something to seeing it and then trying to draw something from what he had saw. I see that, and so now I'm starting to put my thinking on it. I'm not just considering it, but I'm considering it well. I'm really thinking about what I'm seeing and what does this mean? What could it possibly mean? There's understanding here in this, as it starts to develop to Solomon, he starts getting more and more and more from it, to the point that now he says, not only is he, now I'm considering it well, but it's so spurred my attention that now I'm looking. There's a difference between I saw it and now I'm looking upon it. In other words, I'm fine-tuning now to get down to the details of what I'm seeing and what does it mean about what I'm seeing. I'm looking at this thing very diligently now. I'm looking at it, and now it starts to develop. What does this mean as I look at it? And he says, when I got through, it's like, to me, I visualize it this way, it's like a bud blossoming out, and you can see the bud and it holds almost nothing but a little bud, but as it starts blossoming, it gets more details and you can see more of it. And Solomon's looking at this situation, and in his mind, in his heart, it starts developing. I start getting something from what I'm looking at, and the understandings of years of understandings and the things that I know about life and all of it starts pouring into this little vision, this little place here. And now I started getting an understanding, and I believe that this understanding goes way, way beyond what this picture starts out to be. There's a really deep understanding about what Solomon was looking at. So I want to explore it a little bit by the help of the Lord today. Maybe what Solomon had developed there, the Lord had developed, because he said, from this, I received instruction. I learned something, and now I know more about how to live life, and I understand some things that I never really understood in this kind of capacity before. And I just want to interject something here that I believe that Solomon is talking a lot more than about the deterioration of land. He's talking about the deterioration of a soul. He's talking about something more here than just the land or the accomplishment of land. He's talking about principles of things. This is the way things work. And you can't get away from the way things work. This is the way they work. And he looked and he saw a field. Had it always been a field? No. No, in my mind, I understand these things. I've cleared land to plant on before. I've cleared it off, and you have to do something. Solomon's looking and saying, what did it take? This started at some point in history as not being cultivatable. And somebody in the past, somebody started cultivating. I don't know if it was this man's grandpa or his dad, or possibly before his own deterioration, possibly he did it. There's no saying, but you can look and determine by this and by the things that we know, it wasn't always a field. It wasn't always a vineyard. Those rocks wasn't always piled that way. It wasn't always that way. It was before that, it was something else. And somebody done something. And they changed that. And they made it into something. But what I'm seeing is not what that was intended to be. Somewhere in the past, that rock was formed. That was weed eated around it. It's somewhere along the line, there was crops growing out here. It's somewhere along the, I can look and tell you somebody cared. Somebody diligently cared. You know, one of the things about that is most blossoming about this whole idea isn't just the land, it's the character of people. You know, I think it's still this way somewhat, but we've probably lost some of this. Do you know that In the day that he's talking about that, for someone to have be a farmer, land, have land and vineyards, it was if I can say this right, there was an integrity to that. You know, Boaz was one that it doesn't say much about it, but you get the idea that this is a man of integrity. This was a man that, and why not? He had all, you have to have the as to be a farmer or work the vineyards and things and to clear land and do that, you had to have some characteristics. You had to have some. You had to have grit. You had to have strength. You got to be strong. You got to work to be strong. Do you know you had to have an intelligent mind to do it? There's a lot involved in planting and making things to grow. And there was, and they were honored because they were the backbone of the nation. If you need food, who are you going to turn to? You're going to turn to those that's capable of getting it. And it was more than that. I know where I grew up, farmers were known. I mean, this was just what farmers was. It wasn't really ever stated, but you just knew it was. You know, if you needed something welded, these farmers knew how to weld. I don't know how all farmers knew how to weld, but it seems like all of them. You know why they know how to weld? Brother Ivan was farmer. Brother Ivan, who fixed? Does farm equipment ever tear up? Who fixed it?
It's your job.
That, that's what I mean. But did you ever get blisters? You ever have tough hands? Was there a value to the accomplishment of it? Was there a value to society? Did a palm? I don't know if it's like this here, but at home, there's different tax brackets for different lands, and the lowest tax that you can be in for property is to be an active farm. It's almost no taxes. You want to know why? It's a benefit to everybody. It's a benefit if something happens to our country, it's a benefit that there's a big farm raising potatoes. It's a benefit that someone has 1,000 cattle over there. It's a benefit that there's orchards. There's a benefit that there's people there. There used to be such an honor. And in this day, there was such an honor. And I think Solomon looked at that honor. And he looked at men. And you know, there's a reason. I just say this. I notice here, not to be too personal, but I noticed that, I mean, we're not fancy people. We're not supposed to be fancy people. But we're groomed. Now, I'd be up here in a shirt that wasn't ironed because I'm kind of a sloppy-natured person. But my wife's not, so my shirt's ironed. Your shirt's ironed. Most of you iron your shirt. You have a certain way of presenting yourself. Why? Well, there's almost no importance to it at all, is there? Oh, no. There's importance to things. There's an importance that I can, like Solomon, look at the details and say, there's somebody that cares. They got up and washed their face. They don't have stuff on their face. They got up and ironed their shirt. They look at them. They're ready to present themselves. Do you know that carries through who you are? That carries who about what you can present and say to other people? Do you know a farmer? These guys with vineyards and lands and stuff like that, they had an upright image. They had an image of diligence and hard work. And they were, you would count on them. And not only that, these was the guys when trouble come that had something in their hands to reach to somebody else. You can't get something from somebody that don't have it. They help nobody. Here was people that was doing this in hopes of a good heart that they could reach out. Work with your hands that you might live honestly before them that are without. There was an integrity that belonged to this passage. And when Solomon looked at this, he saw more than the deterioration of land. He saw the deterioration of character. There was somebody's character that got blasted here. Somebody went from a high integrity person, some place that had lost this. And when he went by it, instead of being able to look and say, I see the integrity of that man. I see hard work, intelligence. I see somebody that cares about life and cares about others and cares about himself and cares about his children. And yes, cares about God. Because he lives in that kind of capacity. Who do you think we're going to really impress? Walking around sloppy with a sloppy attitude, not caring about nothing. We ain't going to impress anybody with anything. How are we going to really say, God has lifted me up if I'm laying around in a slum somewhere? Lifted you up from what they're going to say? What did he lift you up from? A higher mind? A higher intelligence? A higher what? What has he lifted you up to? As Solomon saw this, I believe this blossomed out to him. I think he saw more as he looked at that land. He saw this in its development, and he says about this, I know who he is. I know whose field I just walked by. Now I say to my shame somewhat, I say every once in a while to my family, boy, I need to clean this yard up. Or people's going to be said, I went by the house of the slothful. Well, you can only pile up so much stuff out there before something's going to think something. You say, well, I don't know how important that is. Okay, I'll give you that. I don't either. But I do know that there is a diligence of life, and it comes along with taking care of things and having order in your life and doing things. You know, some of the times that I've felt worse in my life, the worst times I've felt in my life, is when for some reason I just stayed up too long and didn't go to bed and fooling around with something trivial and slept in too long the next day. And you know, as a young man, without much guidance at all, if I stayed up too late, trivial, just with trivial things, and slept till noon, I felt terrible. And I'm not talking about my body. There was something wrong with me. There was something wrong that I was living my life that way. I wouldn't want to do that very long, but the way I felt about myself, I wouldn't want to do that. That's what he's looking and saying. He's saying, I'm looking and seeing that. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Diligence of hand, it's good. And let it go on. But what's chasing us is a lethargy of spirit. What's chasing us is a dangerous time. Do you know you can get tired? Just get tired of the routine. Just get tired. Some of the folks here is getting older and you're about to face things. I remember when Brother Sammons looked across the valley with a distant look on his face and said, it'd be a shame if I lost my soul after all this. And he was thinking about the miles that he had traveled and the messages that he's preached and the people that he helped and the labors and all that he had done. And he thought of all that and he said with that distant look, would it be a shame after all of this? I'm in danger. I'm in danger, what he was thinking. I'm in danger right here at the last. I can lose my soul after all of this. Lord, help. You'd like to say, no, Brother Samuels, you've got it made. You secured this thing. You can rest now. You can do it in. That's not the way it works. It's entropy. It's the rule that says without care, everything goes to disorder. Without maintenance, everything goes to disorder. We got mechanics here. Does all mechanical things, can you put a mechanical car, Brother Dan's here, but can you put a car vehicle in a garage and leave it in there 50 years and expect it to be the car you put in there? I've had people have to unseize them after that time. If you're not fooled with it or done something with it, things don't just last. And Solomon looked at this with the sternest warnings. I went by this field. And I got a great understanding by looking at it. Deep understanding about something like this. That if this isn't maintenance, if there's no maintenance to this field. Yes. Brother Robin, you've been a farmer. You can witness to us. How long does it take a field that you don't plant in to grow up? It's pretty grown up the next year. I've done this. I'm going to tell you. I cleared a place off. I was going to plant an orchard. And I didn't plant no orchard. But I cleared it off. And I had a mind of cleaning doing the orchard. I just didn't plant the trees. And that was 10 years ago. You'd be surprised how big a tree is and how thick that is now with trees and grown up. It looks just like it when I cut it down. It wasn't done anything with. And as Solomon looks at this, I think the idea that he was having here about this is that we're going to have to do. Salvation didn't happen for me. In February of 1986, and it's over. No, that's not what salvation is. Salvation is a life lived. Salvation is the continuation of that life that God gives you. You're going to have to maintain that thing. So what actually happens? I don't know, but I want to bring this out in this way. When Solomon looked at that, he didn't say, and I beheld and a great bomb went off here, or artillery obviously exploded here, or there was a great horses and chariots run through here and broke these walls down, or there was a sudden catastrophe of earthquake or tornado or something that happened and he tore this up. That ain't what he said. He said, I looked at it and I drew some answers about this. And this is what I concluded. This didn't happen overnight. What did he say? Then I saw and understood it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. And this is what he said. Yet, how much sleep? How much sleep? Well, he'd been drunk for a day. No. He completely lost his mind. No, he didn't completely lose his mind. He didn't give up all of it. This says a little sleep. This is how he saw how what he looked at, listen, it was more than the land. The land typified the man that owned it. That's what he looked at and said at one time, brilliant thinking, planning, determinate, strong, healthy,
vibrant, caring men built something.
That's right.
And somebody that slept a little let it go.
That's right.
That's what he looked and saw. Because he knew that fence, that rock wall didn't get there by itself. That vineyard wasn't planted by itself. That field didn't come into existence by itself. He knew what it took to do it and the kind of integrity and men that did. Do you know a good life of salvation is so honorable?
Yes.
It is so worthy to be honored and looked at and said, that is a valuable, thing. It's a men with integrity, men that can help, men that can do it. It's the backbone of our nation. Strong men with integrity. That's what we looked at. How do you lose that? Well, you don't lose it in a fight overnight. A little sleep. A little slumber. A little. Not a lot of folding of the hand. It didn't start out that way. Solomon was looking at what had been made, what had come of it, and where it was going.
Yes. Yes.
The wisdom that he had allowed him to develop this whole picture into it from beginning to end. And he looked at that, he saw it blossom out, and he said of that man, that land that he has there typifies the life of a man. And so it does us too. Our life typifies who we are. It typifies what we do with our life. The sloppiness and the diligence and everything will show itself in our lives.
Right.
Brother Jim White, I speak of these old brothers because I think they made it.
Yes.
Diligently. Brother Sammons, if you want to use the analogy, he allowed the Lord to make something of him when he couldn't make nothing of himself. He let God make a beautiful, beautiful produce.
That's right.
He had produce.
That's right.
That he had in his life, and it was honorable because we need produce. We need to see people that have produce in their life. I need to eat of your produce, and you need to eat of mine, and we need to share, and we need people that have produce, and we look at him and said, God made produce out of him. He made produce, and at the end, it was honorable, and it was right. Brother Jim White was another one that he allowed God to make so many things that blessed our congregation in the life that he lived. He was able to have analogy after analogy for the Lord. The Lord, he bore fruit. He was... He had integrity and honor. He worked and he was diligent. And at the end of his life, when he got down to the end of his life and he had got congestive heart failure and it was working on him, and he was trusting in the Lord, and the Lord was good to him and blessing him and helping him. But he saw the days, and I remember him making a comment one time that he said, I believe the Lord told me, I appreciate this, folks. I'm going to tell you, I appreciate this. Because God is the God of all truth. And Brother Jim said, I believe the Lord told me I was going to live until I'm 90 years old. He was 87. Said, I believe the Lord gave me 3 years to go ahead and deal with my family and all this. And things went on and on. And one day he called me at the hall and said, Brother Marty, would you come down? Would you come down and say, I need to talk. I need prayer. I need to talk. So I said, yeah, I'll be right down. So I went down to his house and he said, oh, I got to talk to you. Something's been on my heart. He said, Brother Marty, do you believe that a person can so want something so much that they convince themselves of it? Do you believe that? Do you think that I could have wanted this so bad that it wasn't the Lord told me this, but that I believed it for myself? And I had to say, yeah, Brother Jim, I believe that. And he said with a sad look, he said, I think I wanted it so bad I said the Lord did it. I'm sorry I did that. Man had produce in his life. And at the end of his life, little by little, he was afraid. Little by little, he had a fear that I can't lose this. I can't lose this. And the way I'll lose it's a little, and I'm not going to let go. And he said to me,
the caution and the carefulness to come into his, at the end of his life, he was fighting as hard as he ever fought. You know the scripture that says that about the wicked that there's no bonds in their life. Well, there's bonds in this one because you want to make it.
Yes.
He was desperate. Yes. Called me another time and said, come down and talk with him. He said, Brother Marty, said I said something to someone. And he said, I don't know whether I should make it right or not. Something happened. He told me about it. And the story that he told me didn't like make sense that it could have happened. And I'd understood it. And I ended up saying, well, Brother Jim, when did you do that? He said, oh, Brother Marty, right after I got back from the war. Well, Brother Jim, that was 1945. It don't matter. It don't matter. God's working with me. I need to take care of this stuff in my life. Because he didn't want the little. The little. The little. I can't afford the little now. I got to be awake. I got to keep this thing. Do you want to know something? He died with such integrity and honor. What an example. To have the neighbors around him that knew him, that he helped over and over and prayed for and helped, to come in with tears in their eyes, just people who wasn't saved, come in, tell what he had done and how he lived. He produced fruit. He didn't let it deteriorate. His life wasn't deteriorated. So, he says, shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. Is that travaileth or traveleth? Traveleth. And thy want as an armed man. Now here's the picture. This armed man is the executioner. The executioner of this truth. This scripture is saying, don't know when and don't know where, but he's always on the trail.
Amen.
The executioner of this truth, this poverty that will come, he's always on your trail. He comes as one as travels. You know what that means? That's not a hurrying statement. That's a moving statement.
Yes.
That means he's coming. Well, where is he at now? He's at Tulsa. Well, that's quite a ways off. Tulsa. Maybe I can sleep a little bit. He'll be this side of Tulsa later this afternoon. He's coming. That's the idea of this. Here's the axe man. Here's the executioner of this poverty of the soul. The loss of your integrity, the loss of everything. He's on your trail coming. Sleep a little. He'll catch you. Sleep somewhere. He's coming. This is the executioner that's coming. And he says this in such a positive, absolute way. He's like one that's traveling. Well, when does he stop traveling? No, that's not what he said. He didn't say he stopped traveling. He's as one that travels. He's coming.
Yes.
Coming. He's coming. And he's on your trail and he's on my trail. And if we stop, we give in, we give up, we do anything, he's right on our heels. Here he comes to bring poverty to your soul. The fact of it is, you live for the Lord. I face this, live for the Lord, saved way back in 86. You can get tired. Oh, can I say that? You can get tired. There's been times I've had to go to the Lord and say, "You divine power, I need something if I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, because there ain't much more left in here, Lord." That's human. That's right.
Yes.
But when we look at it and say, I got a part in this. I've got to look sometimes. How many stones are you going to let fall off the wall before you put them back on?
Yes.
How many? One
doesn't seem too bad. It'll still keep the animals out. That's what that vineyard wall's for, because creatures want to get in there. The wall was that. You didn't have that around the field generally. The wall was for the vineyard. There's going to be things that's going to attack your vineyard. How many somebody's up here to be strong? Well, grandpa did, or great grandpa did, or somebody did, or somebody in the land did. You know, the promise to the Israelites was land was valuable. We're going to give you land. There'll be cities you didn't build and vineyards you didn't plant. We'll give you that. But somebody planted them, and somebody had a desire for fruit when they did it, and they wanted something prosperous, and they wanted to have a good land, and they wanted food for their family, and they wanted something right. That's what they was talking about. Well, sometimes I've done this. I've had a desire. I love big yards, and I like the yards. And it used to be I'd start off, and it was about every year I'd do this. I'd start off and push my mower to the limits. I mean, I'm mowing way out there. And then you don't edge it, and it comes in. By fall, I got a pretty small yard. A lot easier to mow at the end of it because I ain't been mowing out there as much. How does this come? One mowing cycle after another, one let down after another, one after another, and here comes the axe man, here comes the executioner of this poverty. It's got to happen. It's going to be probably. And look at history. Was it not true of the very one that saw this vision and gave us this great understanding? Did this executioner not catch him? You know, there's a time he'd have never done what he'd done at the end. Oh, he was careful and desirous of the things of God, and he would have never have allowed those women, never. Well, he was warned against that, but he shouldn't have done it to start with. But there come a time that the scripture says at the end of Solomon's life, it says, and he loved many strange women, and that they pulled his heart away from God, and he worshiped many false gods, and his heart was not perfect like his father David. What happened? Solomon, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little... I don't really care as much as I used to. A little bit, I don't, this isn't as important to me. See, the thing about it is, we can almost take a message like this in the sleepy attitude of 2024 with all of our gadgets and entertainments and how it plays with our minds and all that. And this can be not very real message because kind of sleepy about it anyhow. I want to tell you, there's a warning here. Yes. Lord, help us. This is a warning that X-Man that traveleth is coming to execute spiritual poverty on every one of us. You may say, I have my faults and you have yours. True. I have my weaknesses, or you may say the besetting part. It might be one thing for me. I think Brother Michael mentioned about a beer not being a temptation. Well, it ain't to me either. Well, I've got some temptations. It's just not that. And everybody may have their one. But nobody gets by this one. Because the executioner's coming on this one. He's not far behind every one of us that gets slack, that takes our ease. What happens to those that take ease in Zion anyway? It's a warning through the scriptures. Be diligent. The New Testament idea is to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Be diligent about it and watch and look. Make sure that this don't happen to us in our life. Do you know that David recovered? Thank God that there's Jesus is good. I mean, I love this about the gospel. You need to start over. You need to do it. It's the great plan of the Lord. But you know, the black mark on David, you know what happened? When he had a little sleep and a little slumber. I mean, you can go read what 11th chapter of 2 Samuel. And it tells about how the whole writing was like David was in this stupor. Like, it's this time when the kings go to war, and David stayed at the house, seeing his captain. Well, Well, David, you was always a man at the forefront. You was a man. You were called to war. This is what God wanted you to do. And what are you doing? Oh, I'll stay at the house this time. Oh, let's get back. And then it says he gets up in the evening. I don't know. There is some culture to that. But he gets up in the evening time off his bed. I'd feel bad too, David. If I'm in the bed up in the evening time. Farmers don't do that, do they? Most of the time, I ain't saying you can't take a nap. Don't get me wrong, farmers. But I want to tell you, there was an integrity with farmers from daylight till dark. There was industry. There's labor. You're going to get something from this, and it's going to be a blessing to everybody. David gets off his bed. No wonder he got in trouble. He got in trouble. He got in trouble because on his heels was the executioner. And it caught old David right there in his palace. Caught up with him. And so shall your poverty come. I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to recover from it. It can be really hard to face it again. It's hard to, after the field had been cleaned and the vineyard done, and then to let that go and see the disappointment, the depression, the loss of so much, and oh, what I was years ago, and what grandpa, and all of this, and I look at it, and now it's not plucking up some weeds around the grapevines. Now it's not just putting a few rocks back on the wall. Now I look and I say, it's going to take me a great, great effort. And the old devil comes and says, you're not as young as you used to be. You don't have that anymore. You're going to really do that? You're really going to do that? Lord, help us today. I went by the field of the slothful, and what did I see? Oh, how it blossomed up till I seen a whole picture of the character of men. Lord, help us to build that character. You pray for me.